and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Granting & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. Some of us are very successful at building a business, while others are very successful at life in general. The trick is keeping a real balance between the two. Our speaker, Joe Rank, is going to share some practical ideas of how to balance our priorities while being successful in each area. Like most of you, Joe is a contractor. He worked in the family business to pay for college and graduated with a teaching degree from King's College. After teaching a couple of years, he rejoined the family business in 1977 and has been there ever since. Joe has a wife, three children, and is involved in his church and community while continuing to give the family business direction. How does he balance it all? You'll find out on this month's tape. By the way, our special members-only bonus offer was so successful last month, we have enclosed another copy this month. We are overstocked with past tapes and need to reduce our inventory. Enclosed, you will find an order form for Tape of the Month members only that allows you to purchase as many past tapes as you wish for only $5 each. That is a 70% savings. Order now while supplies last. Now, let's listen to Joe.
Twenty-plus years in the service contracting business has resulted in a lot of memories, good and bad, lessons learned, goals accomplished, barriers that had to be overcome, and many financial rewards. My goal with this tape is to share with you some of the things I've observed over the years from a big-picture perspective. Someone said, "We should make all decisions as if we could go ahead 10 years and see the long-term results instead of thinking short-term only." Looking back over 20 years, I see business and life from a different perspective than I saw it 15 to 20 years ago. Hopefully this tape will help you broaden your business perspective and avoid some of the pitfalls I had to go through. This is a great time to be in business with all the help from books, tapes, seminars, and other training that is available today. I will be sharing with you some ideas on what is true success, how, when, where, and why to take a time out, 7 principles of success, how to take care of your number one customer, delegating as you grow, the need to know your costs and charge accordingly, and setting priorities and goals. This past Christmas, our friends who live out of state made their annual pilgrimage home to visit family and friends. They have been doing this for more than 20 years, and it has become almost a routine. This year, their 17-year-old son had a job and could not leave with the rest of the family. They decided that he would drive in on his own. Before they left, they finalized the details: time to leave, directions, and expected arrival time. Communication details are tough, but with children and parents, breakdown seems to always occur somewhere. In this case, the breakdown occurred in the arrival time. The parents thought the son would arrive at 12 or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, while the son thought the expected arrival time was 8 o'clock in the evening. By 2 p.m., the parents became concerned and started making some phone calls. They talked to some of his friends, tried his car phone, which the son had turned off. Then they began to panic. By 4 p.m., they were calling the state police between Indiana and Pennsylvania to see if any accidents had been reported. They realized that if their son had gone over the bank, they would have few clues to his whereabouts. 6 hours after the expected arrival time, the father had accepted the fact that the son had died and began to grieve his loss. In his mind, all hope had vanished. Meanwhile, the son, thinking the expected arrival time was 8 p.m., stopped off at a mall to shop so he would not arrive too early. In his mind, he was enjoying his independence and taking control of his own life in a very mature manner. It was an adventure. He arrived about 8:15, only 15 minutes late. He was prepared for the annual routine Christmas greeting. Instead, it was a celebration, followed by father and son talk on communication and expectations. It's tough, though, to be angry with your son when you've presumed him to be dead and he arrives alive and well. Love can overlook a lot of mistakes, especially if the proper attitude is present. Some situations in life make us stop in our tracks and view life from a totally different perspective. On that December afternoon, my friend was reminded again that life is too short to get wrapped up and controlled by the trivia and urgencies of life. The truly big picture, family and friends, are the great things we have in life. Events like this can hit us like a loaded freight train, filled with cargo we've ignored or pushed aside until a better time. Before this freight train hits you, stop and see where you're at and where you're headed. Look at what is really important and listen to what really deserves your time, your energy, and money. You may be surprised even to find out that it's not your job or your career or your business. A sign of a great basketball coach, especially in a big game, is the one who knows when to stop and call a timeout. We have a very successful basketball coach at our local high school. It's intriguing for me to sit in the stands and watch him when he calls timeouts during a close game. For players, timeouts provide a moment's rest, encouragement, a game plan, and a chance to view the game from a different perspective. They only have a minute to do this, but a good timeout can radically change the outcome of the game. Like basketball players during a close game, we need to take timeouts in our lives. We need to stop, catch our breath, refocus, regroup, and plan for the future. We need to set up our offense and our defense. Do you know when to take a timeout? My time of day is early morning, at the beginning of the day. I'm a morning person, and my wife is not, so we don't get in each other's way in the morning. You need to find a time in your life when it is uncluttered and you can have time to refocus on where you're headed. Personally, I have a special chair where I sit and relax and reflect and revive. For you, it may be in the shower or while walking the dog, or another time when you can unwind. You'll be surprised at how much you look forward to that break each day. During your break, keep a pen and pad handy to capture any ideas that pop into your mind. To expand this time, get some motivational tapes for your car to listen to while you drive throughout the day. Zig Ziglar is one of my personal favorites, but there are lots of others. Along with reading and motivational tapes, praying and reading the Bible, especially Proverbs, opens your mind and your heart to insights and wisdom. From a business perspective, take it to the next level with training events like Mayo, Blau, Comfort Tech, and ACCA. Dan Houlihan is a great guy to go and listen to, and of course, there's always Dale Carnegie. They offer great training for us in all kinds of different areas. The key to developing a successful personal and professional life is to look at yourself and then get beyond yourself. When you take the time to look at yourself and see your strengths and your weaknesses, you can figure out how to control your life and make the necessary adjustments. You may have even tried to take a break, but at the first crisis or emergency, your business begins to run you again and you fall back into your old patterns. Don't give up. Keep trying. Keep the end result in focus. I'm teaching my 16-year-old daughter, Laura, to drive stick shift. And aside from a stiff neck and a slight headache, I'm doing well. I have a 20-year-old daughter, Heather, who went through the same process. I know that if I hang in there long enough, things will work out just fine. Good things, changes, moving ahead, learning new skills, they take time, lots of time. Staying focused on the goal gets the rewards. The rewards far exceed the cost, but you need to be persistent and consistent. What is success? What do you shoot for? How do we measure it? When my friend saw his son pull in that driveway on Christmas Eve, it would have been hard telling him that he was not a successful person. Success goes way beyond the bottom line, but isn't always as easy to measure on paper. My daughter Laura is a junior in high school. They have a powder puff football game every year, juniors versus seniors. They get football jerseys like the guys, practice a couple times, and then play one game. It's an intramural type game, more fun than caring about winning or losing. When Laura found out that I had a meeting that evening, she said I had to miss it and come to her game. Anytime your teenage child asks you to be with them, you drop everything you are doing and realize that you are a success. It may even hurt the business bottom line, but it shoots up the real life bottom line big time. Being successful as a parent of teenagers is not something that happens easily. It starts out day one of that child's life and is a conscious, consistent, planned effort every day of their life. Making our business a success is much the same. To take it from infancy to maturity needs to be a conscious, consistent, and planned effort. Successful businesses, like successful people, don't just happen. Peter Lowe, who attracts hundreds of thousands of people to his success seminars each year, suggests the following 7 essentials for success. The number 1 essential for success is character. He defines character as a combination of qualities that determine a person's moral and ethical strength. John Rockefeller said, "The most important thing for a young man is to establish a credit, a reputation, and character." The number 2 essential for success is determination. Determination is firmness or purpose to a fixed intention. William Feather says, "Success seems to be largely a matter of hanging on after others have let go. Hang in there when the going gets tough. Keep the goal and the purpose in mind." Number 3, enthusiasm. Great excitement or passion for a project is a definition for enthusiasm. Ralph Waldo Emerson says, "Nothing great was ever achieved without enthusiasm." My partner Jay is Mr. Enthusiasm. One employee said, "It's worth coming to work in the morning just to see Jay smile and to have him say good morning to you." The 4th essential for success is initiative. Initiative is the ability to begin or follow through energetically with a plan or task with enterprise and determination. My other partner, Glenn, is Mr. Detail. When he completes a job or a task, it's done better and more creatively than anyone else I know. The 5th essential for success is integrity. Integrity is having steadfast adherence to a strict ethical or moral code. Samuel Johnson says, "Integrity without knowledge is weak and useless, and knowledge without integrity is dangerous and dreadful." Our recent experiences with President Clinton's lack of integrity shows us what can happen even to the most important person when they forget the basics of success. The 6th essential for success is patience. Patience is the quality of being able to beat enduring difficulties and annoyance with a calm tolerance. James 4:1 says, "Let your patience show itself perfectly in what you do. Then you will be perfect and complete and will have everything you need." This is not a quality usually found in the mechanical service contracting field. We still too often think that a real man is like a bull in a china closet. We wait 10 seconds and then put down our head and go. The direction isn't important. We think it's just important at removing. The result is often a lot of damage. The seventh essential for success is preparation. Preparation is the state of having been made ready beforehand and anticipating potential obstacles. Aesop says, "It is thrifty to prepare today for the wants of tomorrow." We also don't like to spend a lot of time preparing or taking the time to learn through training, seminars, tapes, or books. We do better reading the book and following the directions after we failed the first time. Now the big question you've been waiting for. Where does financial success fit into the picture? Financial success should be a byproduct of following the seven essentials for success. When you have these seven essentials for success in line, everyone will want to use your product or service, and all you have to do is collect the money. Too often we want to get the cart before the horse. We want the profit before we get our house in order. Ellen Rohr, in her book, Where Did the Money Go?, suggests that in order to run a business profitably, we must know our costs and charge accordingly. Only then will the profits come, Ellen says. May I suggest that if most businesses fail, and about 80% do in the first 3 years, it is foolish to base your financial well-being on what others are charging. What makes you think the fellow down the road has any idea what he is doing? Sure, he's busy. Busy isn't so hard. Creating and sustaining profits and developing careers for you and your staff. Ah, there's the rub. She says, "This is why I wrote this book. When creating selling prices, base them on your real cost of doing business, including fair compensation for you and your hardworking employees, not on what the market will bear." Consider what the market will bear, though. $20,000 for a Rolex watch, $125 for a cigarette lighter, and $4 for a six-pack of soda. The market is not strictly price-driven or even primarily price-driven. This is what it takes to make money in your business. You need to develop a fair price based on your costs, and you need to present your products in such a way that value outweighs price. Ellen Rohr's book is a book on business basics, but it's also entertaining and thought-provoking. Personally speaking, we worked hard to build a successful company in every sense of the word over the past 46 years. We charge more than almost all of our competitors, but we've been voted number one 6 out of the past 7 years in a countywide survey in our area. It's not easy. You can never relax, get cocky, or take your customers, employees, or vendors for granted. You have to be a marketing genius, a numbers cruncher, a people person, a motivator, a visionary, in addition to being able to do the technical side with expertise and class. But it can be done. There are lots of successful companies there to learn from. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you do have to have an open mind and be flexible to learn, to grow, and to improve. Most of what I've learned in the past 20 years, and most of the reason that we've been successful as a company, is that we've learned from other successful companies. We aren't geniuses, but we've benefited from what others have been willing to share with us. Now that you've taken time out and looked at the big picture, You become involved in national organizations, you've networked, and know the seven essentials of success, and you know what you must charge to be a profitable and successful company. What is next? The next step in becoming a successful person or company and going to the next level is taking care of your number one customer, your wife. Since most of us are married, begin by listening to your wife. She could and should be your greatest asset, but you've got to encourage her to become that. If she isn't your greatest asset and cheerleader, you need to start making her your highest priority. Treat her as you would your best customer. I heard a speaker say that wives need acceptance, a sense of freedom, they need security, they need to be cherished and romanced, and they need emotional support. You can't stop trying and doing whatever it takes to make your best customer satisfied. So it has to be with your wife. Will it be easy? No. Will it be challenging and fulfilling? Yes. Will it be fun and rewarding? You betcha. Start small, or you will drive yourself and your wife crazy. Be polite, courteous, respectful, and listen. After you've picked her up off the floor and dusted her off, try admitting that you could use some help in a few areas. Your wife also needs to be told often that she is of high value and needs to be treated that way. We all know the story of the husband who told his wife he loved her on their wedding day. After years of not saying it again, she asked him why. He told her that he'd meant what he'd said on their wedding day, and if he changes his mind, she'll be the first to know. I know of someone who gave his wife a new broom for her birthday. That would send a message of high value to very few women. Learn to know what makes her tick. A fellow employee's wife called frustrated and feeling badly because she could not figure out how to use their new home computer. After trying to help her to no avail, he said, "That's okay. I still love you and think you're great." That's what I mean by creating high value in a person, especially your wife. Your wife also needs a sense of freedom, not a feeling of being trapped by being only your wife and the mother of your children while you do all the fun and exciting things. Give her time away. Take care of the kids yourself. Share your dreams and listen to hers. She knows your strengths and your weaknesses better than anyone. Do you know hers? My wife, a registered nurse, gave up her career to raise our three children. When she decided it was time to go back to nursing, it was exciting to watch her reemerge in her chosen profession. Now she works part-time. By the time she gets tired of being at home, she goes to work for a couple days. When the stresses of work pile up, she has a couple days off. It's extra work for me, but you have to give to others to get the best from them and to feel the best about yourself. Only by giving the best will you receive the best. Your wife also needs security. She needs to know that you will always be there and can be trusted. 99% of the time is not good enough. It's got to be 100% all the time. We had a good employee 99% of the time, but he had a tendency to get upset 1% of the time. He would hit fittings that wouldn't go together with ease, yank pipes apart, you get the idea. While he might have felt better after his temper tantrum, he now had to go back like a little kid and fix up what he had broken. When we break trust in a marriage, it's never easy to repair. Trust takes a long time to acquire, can be easily broken, and takes even longer to reacquire. Handle trust like fine china, and be wise in what you do in a fleeting, weak, stupid moment. It may destroy that trust you've worked so hard to build. Your wife also needs to be cherished and romanced year-round, not just on February 14th or on her birthday. It's hard for males with our instant turn-on ability to realize that a woman needs lots of time. maybe too much time in our opinion. A phone call during a busy day, flowers, not a broom, a short note, a regular for no reason I love you, and helping with the children are a few examples that can go a long way in the proper cherishing and romancing direction. If you don't know what to do, ask her. She'll be glad to tell you. The longer the list, the better. After all, it's all for your benefit. Finally, she needs emotional support. She needs a shoulder to cry on, someone to talk to who really listens and cares, and someone who lifts her up when she's down. Listening and caring can be to a woman what sexual needs are to a man. Never underestimate the importance of a listening ear. Make it a daily occurrence in your life. This takes time, but taking care of your wife's needs, like taking care of your best customer's needs, always results in lots of rewards for everyone. When I take the time to tap into my wife's insights and follow through with her suggestions, I'm always the winner, along with my company and my customers. Moving to the next level also requires us to learn how to delegate. Most of us are where we are because we are good at what we do. A lot of small business success revolves around the time, energy, and enthusiasm of one or two key people. One of these key persons is probably you. One of the hardest things to do in life is to let someone else do something that you do well and enjoy doing. In our business, almost all of us have been successful at the technical end and then move into the business end, often with much reluctance. Most businesses slow down at this point because we want to be hands-on and control the technical end and somehow do the business end as an afterthought. Until we are willing to give up the tools, our business can only go so far. My friend, Vince DiFilippo, experienced this same challenge and frustration in growing his business. He felt he was letting down his customers and his business by not doing the technical side. He was the best service tech and just hated to give it up, even though he knew he had to do it. He felt he needed to know everything that was going on to be a good boss, every job, hour by hour, and all the day-to-day details. On the other hand, he wanted his business to grow, and someone had to run the company and not be tied down by the day-to-day challenges. If Vince was sitting in his office working and overheard a problem, he would spring into action. He was Superman to the rescue, putting out fires while the real running of the business went on the back burner. Only after his wife Laura closed the door and locked him in his office did he begin, over a period of time, to realize what was involved in really running a business instead of it running him. Sometimes he felt like only a great paper shuffler. Other times he realized that shuffling the papers in a correct and timely manner can result in more bottom-line profit and satisfy customers than working with the tools. Vince still regresses occasionally to the old mentality, but he's turned the corner and headed in the right direction. As your business grows, delegating is a constant process. You will constantly be giving up one area to someone else to take on a new or bigger assignment. It's so easy to hang on to what you have and just put more on your platter. Don't do it. Long hours, frustration, and a pity party for little old you are dead ahead. Delegate or die a slow death. I know of a manager with 50 to 60 employees who delegates everything. He says he could go away for 6 months and everything would go smoothly. His wife says he would delegate going to the bathroom if he could. Most of us have more of a problem with lack of delegation rather than over-delegation. We can give a lot of excuses for not delegating. Inadequate employees, examples of other businesses that have delegated incorrectly, too busy to train, and the list goes on. Too often the reason is that we hate to give up the control and the power, or we fear that someone else may be able to do the job better than we can. If power and pride are more important to you than growth, that's okay. Get satisfied with where you are, because you have put the brakes on as to where your company can go. When you decide to begin delegating, be constantly on the lookout for people who are better than you, who can take the company to the next level. We hired experts in the computer, finances, and sales areas because we were weak in these areas. For you, it may be some other area. Identify your strengths and stay in those areas as much as you can, and hire someone to work in your weak areas. Work to your strengths, not your weaknesses. Another key to success in moving to the next level is to surround yourself with great people. We become like the people we surround ourselves with. Get rid of the negative people and listen to the positive people in your life. An often overlooked source of ideas is our employees. They see our business from a slightly different perspective than we do. 6 years ago, one of my partners, Glenn, being always on the lookout for good employees, suggested a 59-year-old lady from his church who might be available for part-time office work. I was a bit skeptical, but he had insisted that she would be okay. This classy lady was all of God's best, wrapped up into one small package. Claire was a hard worker, flexible, efficient, loyal, and organized. Her outstanding trait, though, was her humor and willingness to laugh at herself. She made the office a fun place to be, mothered us with treats and chocolate candy. She encouraged us to be our best, to look at life's big things, God and family, and at the same time, run a first-class operation. At 60-plus, she was so excited to learn all the ins and outs of the computer. She got our instant respect. We as owners would often run things by her to see if they were right things to do, especially in customer relations. We respected her insight and wisdom. When special people come into your life and business, especially if they are employees, listen to them and learn all you can. Special employees come in many different packages. Tom was not quite as refined as Claire, but taught all of us a lot over his 30-plus years as an employee. When I was a teenager, he would yell at me and call me anything, but no one else dared to say anything negative about me. He was the sergeant, and I was the private. I learned a lot through fear and trembling. At 16, he helped prepare me for the real world. In his own unique way, Tom was my personal Zig Ziglar, pushing me to be my best. He told me if I didn't go to college and pursue my dream to be a teacher, that I would always regret it. I could always come back to the business. He would make sure it kept running well in my absence. Of course, he was right and true to his word. Tom, of course, wasn't always right, and a lot of his views on life were a little rough around the edges and less than accurate. Nevertheless, in a special way, he molded many of us young bucks and helped prepare us for life ahead. Listen to the wisdom around you coming from your employees. Tom often said that even the smartest person could learn something from a dummy. A bit crude, but we too often think that we are smart people and the employees are the dummies. Don't be fooled. By the way, Tom is retired over 15 years and still thinks he knows more about running the business than we do. He keeps us on our toes with an occasional visit that comes along with lots of criticism, suggestions, insight, and humor. It's vital to encourage your employees to speak up, and when they do, you need to shut up and listen. Don't interrupt them with your excuses. There is always a thread of truth in every criticism. Look for that thread of truth. Don't let the criticism get in the way. If they know you are really listening and responding, They will become team partners, not criticizers. Suggestion boxes with rewards are a great way to start. Try some of their ideas, even if you don't think that they will work that well. If you use their ideas, they will make sure that their ideas are successful. If you don't use their ideas, you can kiss away any future good ideas when you might need them the most. Many of you may also be involved in a family business. Never forget all the time, energy, risks, and dollars it took to get the business started, up and running with a good reputation, before it was handed over to you to grow and improve on. Someone once said that it's so much harder to start and develop a good business than it is to take that business at that point and grow it to be much larger and more successful. We second and third generation owners often want to take too much credit for where the business is today. My mother didn't tell my father that she was pregnant until after he had taken the plunge and went into business. She knew the risk that they were taking and that he might be tempted to back off, play it safe, and wait. My father could not get a bank to loan him money when he approached them with his business plan. A fellow construction worker who heard him talking about his problem provided him with the cash to go into business. That seems like too big of a risk today, but it was the beginning of a successful business that has lasted for over 46 years. Never forget what and who got you to where you are today. The Toms and Claires and parents are a part of every successful business. No man is an island. We can't do it by ourselves. Vilas Ozels, another great trainer, shared this story at a recent seminar that I attended. Basically, the story is about two woodcutters, and they are trying to figure out who is the best woodcutter in the world. The only way they can figure out to do this is to have a chop-off. So they figure from the moment the sun rises to the moment the sun sets, they're going to chop wood. Whoever has the biggest pile at the end of the day would be the champion. The sun rises and the two of them are chopping away, and it's obvious that they are two of the very best. The first one has been chopping away like crazy, and he notices off to the side that the competitor, the other woodcutter, has stopped and is taking a break. So the first woodcutter takes advantage of the opportunity, pushing himself to his physical limits, wanting to take advantage of this opportunity while the other person is resting. The interesting thing is that this happens two, maybe three times throughout the course of the day, and each time the first woodcutter just pushes himself to his physical limits. Finally, the sun is set, and the two of them have collapsed in exhaustion, and they get to the point where they can finally measure the piles of wood. They measured the first woodcutter's pile of wood, the one who has chopped harder and longer, and it's a huge pile. They figure for sure that this person is the champion because he's worked the hardest. Then they go to measure the second guy's pile of wood, and as they start to measure, it becomes very obvious, very quickly, that he has chopped more wood. He has a larger pile. There is simply more wood there. So they declare the second woodcutter the champion. Now the first woodcutter, he's perplexed. He asks him, "How did you do that? I worked harder than you did, I worked longer than you did, and you were stopping to rest." The second woodcutter said, "Here's your mistake. Never once did I stop to rest. I was stopping to sharpen my axe. My goal with this tape is for you to receive two, three, maybe four ideas that you can use to sharpen your personal and business life so that you can get to the next level with success. Take a moment right now to write these ideas down and the date that you plan to implement them, and then follow through."
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. Better yet, check out Grandy & Associates on the World Wide Web. Our website provides a detailed schedule of coming full-day seminars. Our address is www.grandyassociates.com, and it is also printed on the tape insert. Again, our website address is www.grandyassociates.com. One last reminder, send in your order for past tapes as soon as possible. At $5 a tape, supplies will not last long. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce. Thank you.